There are so many different ways to worship God, and none of them are wrong if it's worship. David danced, but I don't think he danced quite as well as Angel did. I'm going to read a lot of word this morning. I enjoy the revelation that every time I open this book, God opens his mouth, and he always has a word for us. I'm going to share a story, an event that really happened. It wasn't a parable Jesus told, and he did share many, and all were powerful. But this really happened. It was an event that occurred during his life and ministry. His disciples were with him and witnessed this when it happened. It's in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, beginning with verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. Nothing but leaves. And Jesus said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately, the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" Jesus looked at a tree at a distance and saw leaves. It had the appearance of being a fruitful tree. But when he got closer to it and began to inspect the tree, expecting fruit, there was no fruit, nothing but leaves. And the tree is a type of a believer, the kind we don't want to be. When Jesus would look at us, or others may look at us and see the appearance of being fruitful, but upon closer inspection, realize it's only appearance. There is really no fruit in the tree. And Jesus dealt harshly with that tree. He spoke a curse to that tree. And he said, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." It was such an immediate result that the disciples marveled and said, "How did that fig tree wither away so soon?" Now, we don't want that commentary spoken over any of our lives. There is a higher level of life in the Spirit for all of us to enjoy. In fact, it's something we should desire, to be fruitful for the Master's use, not a tree that has leaves only and no fruit. I want to speak to you for just a few minutes this morning about civil war. Civil war. It's the battle between the flesh and the spirit that rages in every believer's life. There's a tug of war on the inside of us. The civil war is a battle for the same territory. Two opposing factions at war, both fighting for the same territory. Both feel like they belong here and they own this territory, and pulling one against the other, and all of that happens on the inside of a believer. The truth is that one, either the flesh or the spirit, one will surrender and the other one will control. One will suffer and the other one will thrive. They cannot peacefully coexist. Never. The flesh and the spirit, the civil war inside of us, rages, and neither one will agree to share joint custody. Neither one will agree to share space in the winner's circle. One will be strengthened, and the other will starve to death. It's a civil war inside of us. The spirit battling the flesh. Paul had this dilemma in Romans chapter 7, beginning with verse 18. Listen to what the apostle Paul said. Now, if anybody who knew things of the Spirit, and by revelation of the Spirit, it was this man right here. Listen to what the apostle Paul said about the war that was raging inside of him. Beginning in verse 18, he said, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation now, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. I'm reading your mail, some of you, I know it. Oh, I just got in a sweet spot right now. All of a sudden, I know I am at the right place. Beginning with me. Verse 20. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. Don't you have a witness on that one? Don't you love God's word with all your heart? Paul said, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. That's so critically important. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Have you ever felt like that since you were born again? There is a war raging, and if we understand a little about this battle, it will help us move forward in our spiritual. Saved 50 years, you can work it. If you've just gotten saved a week ago, you can work with this. This is a maturing word. A tug of war, one surrenders, one will control, one will suffer while the other thrives. They will not get along ever. One will be strengthened and the other starved to death. Which one wins? The answer is the one you feed more. The one you give more attention to. When it comes to this issue of the flesh, a lot of the battle is in the mind. There are great books written on that issue, and it's a powerful truth. The enemy will play tricks with your mind. And if you let a seed that's of the enemy find a place in your mind, it has a way of working down into your spirit and digging a deep root there. Then you've got real problems, and all of this raging on the inside of us. But when you're a believer and you've been born again and your faith is in the Lord Jesus and you absolutely know for sure there is no other hope I have to get to God the Father but through His Son Jesus. There is no way I will ever have any hope to get from here to heaven, except through the Son of God and trusting His blood to forgive me of my sin. Now, after you've had that revelation, the battle that's called civil war does not end. It's just beginning. So, the problem is not a devil that can be cast out. It is our sin nature that must be crucified. It's the flesh, not the devil. There are two different things. Sometimes they work in, shall we say, cahoots. You know, I'm going to start using that word more. Cahoots. That best describes the relationship, the evil alliance between the devil and the flesh. Oh, they're in cahoots, but they're two different things. One you cast out with the authority of God, and every believer should have it and know how to use it. The other you crucify. You nail it to a cross. You starve it to death. Our sin nature will either be gratified or crucified. It depends on whether you feed it or starve it to death. Now, in Romans chapter 8, we'll read some more of the writings of Paul. Mostly, all I'm going to do this morning is read the Bible. I'm going to give us enough word to choke the devil. I'm going to comment very little, just give you the power of the word this morning. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 5, Paul says, and he found a secret now. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Don't overlook that secret. Those who live according to the Spirit or to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, four times in this one verse, that word is used. Spiritually minded is life and peace. So our minds have a lot to play with it. Now I'm going to read the next two verses, verses 7 and 8, out of the New Living Translation. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Paul says, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Now, I told you this was a maturing word. Ushers, if you see anybody sleep, slap them. How powerful is this word? The sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That part of you is at work inside of you unless you've already crucified it. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Oh, no, we're saved by grace through faith. We don't work a lick for it. It is an absolute free gift. It is grace plus nothing that gets us in, and I love it. But to stop there and live the rest of your life on earth without taking responsibility of dealing with the flesh is immature. There is a great, great, great message of grace. That revelation is in the forefront of our generation. And I love it. I'm not critical of it at all. But I will only say this. I wish every believer were responsible enough to handle that message with maturity. And that's our part to play. that sinful nature that's at war with the Spirit of God inside of us. Paul knew about it. Hey, we're in good company. If you're struggling, you're not an island. You're not off to yourself without a lifeline. Paul knew exactly. He wrote in detail about this war. I can't believe how transparent he was with the church. He wrote to the church at Rome. They were looking to him as a leader. And he said, I got it going on. I'm at war inside myself. I want to do what's right and I can't. I love God's word with all my heart, but I can't seem to put it to work in my life effectively because of this flesh nature that I'm struggling with. The great apostle declared it. So it should be no surprise that we, including me, deal with the civil war inside. That sinful nature can never please God. The Amplified Bible speaks of the flesh as catering to the appetites and impulses of the carnal nature. And I like the New Living Translation using the word hostile. Hostile toward God. The King James Bible, which is an archaic English language, says enmity against God. We don't use that word. But we know what hostile means. Hostile toward God. That part of you that's flesh and sin nature that we all inherited from Adam is hostile toward God. And the Spirit of God is housed in here right beside the flesh that's hostile toward it. That's why it's civil war. Two entities fighting for the same territory, both claiming to own this territory and both desiring to rule this territory at the expense of the other. Hostile toward God. I looked up the word hostile in the dictionary. Here's what it means: pertaining to an enemy, resistant, antagonistic. Do we want to even think of our relationship with God in such a way that it could be said that it's pertaining to an enemy? We don't want God for an enemy. But the flesh nature in us, housed right along beside the Holy Spirit of God in us, is an enemy to each other. Hostile toward God. Resistant to God. Antagonistic toward God. These are things we don't want. But they're there until we crucify the flesh. A maturing word this morning. I'm just going to give you the word now. Galatians 5:16. Paul said, and I love it, as he grows and matures, the revelation gets better, and our hope for freedom to live in the Spirit gets more real. He said, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk that way. Live your life one step at a time in the Spirit. Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-controlled, Spirit-directed. Walk through life that way. And if we can learn how to walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Galatians 5 and verse 19, reading from the New Living Translation again, Paul said, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Well, that's a clothesline, isn't it? All I'm doing is just reading the word right here. I don't preach against clothesline. I'm just reading the word right here. I'm not going to reread that long list because it was painful enough the first time. Even though Paul said, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Verse 22. Love, joy, peace, patience. Now, I could have used a little bit more of that this morning, patience. Because I was driving down the road here to church this morning, and the slowest driver in Florence just happened to be in front of me. It was a two-lane road. And I couldn't pass him. The line was yellow. Wasn't a devil I could cast out. It was just part of my flesh. I needed to die. But as I learned to walk in the Spirit, the fig tree produces this kind of fruit. Not just leaves and appearance of fruitfulness, but real fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You know, that's how we're going to win the world, really. That's how we're going to convince those who are not yet born again that God is real. It's through fruit. Not the ability to perform miracles, even though we should have that too. But fruit. We're going to love a sinner. We're going to consider it a joy for them to be around us. We're going to show them what peace living is like. We're going to be patient with a sinner. That person that you're working with, perhaps on the job, in the cubicle, the desk, right next to you, down the hall, or maybe even your supervisor, your manager that has nothing God-like at all at work in their life. And you're the one they're looking at. Do they see leaves? Only leaves. Expecting to receive more out of this tree, but all there is appearance. Or do they see love and joy and peace and patience, kindness in your life, goodness? Just be good to people. Be good to one another. Be kind to people. These are things that will just happen in our lives as easily as a tree bears fruit. We don't have to work it up. Just walk in the Spirit. And then this is what our life should look like. Faithfulness. Boy, a lot of believers could grow in that one, including me. Gentleness. I could use some more of that. And self-control. Can't we all get in line for some more of that? And Paul said there is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I remember John Bevere being with us. He was with us three different times, and he is a great speaker, great Bible teacher, a great Christian author. His books are the best. He has a gift not only to speak the revelation God's given him, but he has another gift parallel to that one. He can write in such a way that the anointing of the revelation is captured in his writing just as much as it is in his preaching and teaching. And I remember him being with us and a couple of things he said to me privately. One was at Ruby Tuesdays, just the two of us were having lunch at Ruby Tuesdays. And we were sitting at a booth, just the two of us. He was sitting across from me, and we were talking about spiritual authority. And he had just written that great book, Undercover, about spiritual authority, that begins with, if you don't stand in the authority God has given you, someone will take it away from you and use it against you. I was telling him what a blessing that book was. That book is the modern day, this generation's go-to book on spiritual authority, on par with Watchman Nee's book of two or three generations ago titled Spiritual Authority. John Bevere really has a revelation on that and many other subjects. And one was this. We were talking about walking in the Spirit versus fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And here's what John Bevere said to me. And I wrote it down, and I'll never forget it. It actually comes from a verse in Scripture. 1 Peter 4:1. This is the verse from which he gets the revelation he shared with me. The verse in Scripture says, he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That flesh, that sin nature. Should it suffer? Yes. How much? Until it dies. He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That's God's word. But John Bevere defined it for me like this. Suffering in the flesh is obeying the will of God when your flesh doesn't want to. That's what suffering in the flesh is. That sin nature that's at civil war with the Holy Spirit inside each of us. It's the sinful nature of our flesh that must suffer until it dies. Suffering in the flesh is obeying the will of God when your flesh doesn't want to. Now, I could give you all kind of examples, but I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what your tendency, your sin of choice might be. Everybody has a different one, a particular weakness. But when you wake up on any given day, what's the first activation in your mind? Is it, and I've tried to learn to do this in recent weeks. When I wake up in the morning, before I even open my eyes, as soon as I'm aware, I'm awake, I check myself and find my core, the spirit of who I am, and I realize God has given me another day. He is present with me. He has promised He will never leave me and never forsake me. I am one with the Spirit. And that's Bible. The Apostle Paul said, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with God. So before I open my eyes, or certainly before I get out of bed, before I move a muscle, when I'm consciously aware that I'm awake, I realize I am one spirit with God. Got Scripture on it. But then when you get up, start your day, what do you pay attention to the most? Do you let your mind wander to the things that would lead to fulfilling the lust of your flesh? Or is your mind fixed on God? Do you set your mind on things of the flesh, or do you set your minds on things of the Spirit? That will determine which one wins and which one loses, which one surrenders, which one controls, which one suffers and which one thrives, which one is strengthened and which one starves to death. We should feed our spirit, starve the flesh to death. And then one final verse of Scripture, Galatians 2:20. It's a famous verse. Paul has a lot to say about this subject. Everything I've read practically is from Paul's writings. In Galatians 2:20, he finally reached the point of such victory over his sinful nature and such victory in walking in the Spirit. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So if you want to know what's ahead, if you want to know what a future mile marker on the highway of spiritual maturity looks like, if you want to look into the future and see what it's going to be when you get there, and all of us are on that journey, maybe at different mile markers, but all of us headed in that direction, we're going to reach a place in this life, prayerfully in this life, when we can say what Paul said, I'm dead to the flesh. Just like Jesus was crucified and his flesh died, I've been crucified with him. And now the only part of me that's alive is Christ, the Spirit of God that lives in me. I live by faith that way now. I've learned to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I told you it was a maturing word. Now, here's your assignment. Take this word and put it to work in your life. Read these scriptures over again. When you open the book, God will open his mouth and speak to you truth and revelation. This is a maturing word. And I have a feeling that at warp speed, we're going to see this word come to pass. You know, the life of the believer is such that you can go long seasons of time and not see much change, not even see much growth, and then all of a sudden, there will be a season with a fresh wind at your back, and it will seem to push you in God's direction at a faster pace. And I believe that's what the Lord is doing in this church right now. He's growing us up more quickly than we wanted to a while back. It takes responsibility for each of us to work the Word of God that comes to us. And when it comes to this issue of walking in the Spirit, here's a delightful assignment for you. Do a word search. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Ask the Lord that question. When you open the book and read the verse, do it with this kind of relationship with the Holy Spirit. When you read Galatians chapter 5 again, that lists the works of the flesh and then the fruit of the Spirit, talk to God like this. Holy Spirit, what did you mean when you inspired that great apostle Paul to write these words? Just like you taught him, would you teach me? He's in here. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Feed and strengthen the Spirit of God that's living in you and starve your flesh to death. Will you stand with me, please? I'd like for the prayer team, the men and women who are offering themselves right now to...